So our next audio is an interview with Stuart Swerdlow, where he talks about the Montauk Project. He begins by a discussion of his first encounters with extraterrestrials at the age of 3 years old.
The first memory I have of that was of approximately the age of three. When I was in my room alone at the time, I remember waking up and being taken aboard what I thought was a little bus or a car of some kind that was hovering outside my window. And it wasn't very large because I was only 3 years old, and I remember that my head wasn't that far from the ceiling. And there was only one other being in this vehicle who was about my size. Now, it was not the typical gray that you hear about in books and movies, but rather it had a kind of a plant-like appearance to it, a slight green tinge to it, slimy, very thin, and it even communicated telepathically and somehow let me know, even at 3 years old, that it lived like a moving plant. And that was my very first experience with this type of creature. Mm-hmm. This being took me to a platform that was orbiting the Earth. And it was on this platform that I actually met a very wide variety of alien life forms that were in some kind of a council or group and actually told me about my own creation and genetic inheritance and what I was supposed to do on the Earth. Of course, at 3 years old, I didn't quite understand it.
Could imagine.
But it was years later that a lot of this information that obviously had been downloaded into my cellular structure started coming to the surface, and I started remembering more and more about that experience.
Well, do you think your mother was perhaps implanted to some degree prior to your birth, or there was some manipulation going on while you were in her womb?
Well, that's a very interesting question, because I write about this in my Alien Connection book. Mm-hmm. My birth was extremely unusual. In fact, when my mother went into labor with me, she was taken to a hospital that was not completely built yet, and in fact moved her into a wing that wasn't even opened. In fact, it was November and there was no heat and it was quite cold. And they examined her and told her that there was no way she could have become pregnant because she had no birth canal. She was completely born with a birth defect that completely sealed up her birth canal, and they told her it was impossible for her to become pregnant. Therefore, they had to do surgery before I was born, while she was in labor, to actually create a birth canal. And as it just so happened, when I put that in quotes, there was a doctor from Texas who just happened to be in that hospital and who just happened to be an expert in that kind of surgery. And so he did the surgery, and I was pulled from her womb with forceps because I was literally hooked onto her pelvic bone. And so they told her that I was consider it to be an immaculate conception because there was no way she could have naturally become pregnant. And, of course, back in the 1950s, they didn't have such thing as in vitro fertilization or anything like that. So she thought she had become pregnant the normal way, and yet they told her that was impossible. So I was told subsequently, and that wasn't until I was a teenager, at the project that they told me I was genetically created. I was a manipulated project that was implanted in her womb for a specific purpose.
And did they ever tell you who actually did this work?
It was a combination of the scientists from Nazi Germany, American scientists, and Russian scientists in conjunction with an alien group.
And do you know who that alien group was?
Yeah, it was from Sirius A.
Oh, those guys.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they used a lot of their technology in Montauk Project.
Okay. So could you characterize what the Montauk Project, the Montauk Mind Control Project was and what its goals were?
Yeah. Initially, from what I know about it, it was an outgrowth of the German mind control experiments that occurred back in the 20s and 30s and 40s. Now, the reason that they needed to really expand on this in 1970 was because of the Dulce Wars that occurred in July of 1969 underneath New Mexico, where there was an actual attack on humans in this underground base in the Four Corners area. And the humans lost, and the aliens did take over the base. And it was decided then that should this information leak out, which they knew it eventually would, and the population of the Earth knew officially that there was an alien presence that could not be controlled, there would be mass panic and chaos. And so they decided to create a project that would control the minds of people globally and that way ensure peace and order under any circumstances. And so they chose Montauk, number one, because it was so far removed from a populated area, being on the very eastern tip of Long Island, just south of the Rhode Island-Connecticut border, and completely surrounded by water. And there was only one way in and one way out, and mostly, most of the year, it was kind of bleak and deserted. So it was a very good place from which to do work. And it already had an established underground base, which was actually commissioned in 1799 by George Washington. Mm-hmm. And so this project initially was about mind control. And they brought in heavy hitters from the Nazi era, the German scientists were working in the concentration camps. And they also brought in a lot of Soviet scientists and even a lot of Americans. And on a couple of occasions, I did even see Israeli scientists, and very rarely did I see any Asian or other Europeans there. Mm-hmm. And it had sister projects in Europe and in the western part of the United States.
And Dumbledore got back to Hogwarts, and everybody lived happily ever after.
So this is a Harry Potter story.
Beautiful. It's beautiful. I mean, it's beautiful. And it's wonderful. And what's the point?
So it's real for this person.
Perfect words. Perfect words. Yes, perfect words.
But there's some kind of other reality where it doesn't apply to us. I don't want to say a consensual reality, but...
Well, he's telling his story, but what's he telling you?
First of all, did his mother have surgery on her birth canal to create a birth canal?
They call it a C-section, Bob.
It was a simple C-section, okay. And what else did he say?
And those operating rooms are cold. Keep them
Now, he said some aliens were part of that. Had an encounter with the aliens.
Sounds like a weekend in East Village to us.
Outside of his projection or reality, there was an alien that interacted with him at 3?
Yes, they were from, just south of Brownsville, Texas. Yeah, they were aliens.
Ed, what else did he say about that period when he was 3 years old that he finds great significance in?
Well, these aliens were plant-like creatures. And they took them to a platform off of the earth where there were other individuals who interacted with him.
Good.
Okay, so, Ian, when one asks if this is real, you would say yes for him. His mind just created this, or his being. What perspective are you scoffing at?
We're just saying congratulations. This is supposed to be intelligence analysis, and we're trying to get it, but we don't know. Hooray, okay, that we've participated. Good. Now, is there any question so far that would require dissension?
Now, at Montauk, at the end of Long Island, was there an Nancy scientist creating a major MK Ultra mind control operation there?
We don't like to push against things, but MK Ultra, it sure is just that, MK Ultra, which is great fun and fine. It's not a problem. You live around in this land long enough, and you'll see most anything and hear about more than that, and it's not a problem. But at the same time, it's like, okay, you're telling this story. Okay, your mama didn't have fallopian tubes, so you couldn't get pregnant. And so she got pregnant, all right? She might have been on birth control, too. So that's one of them 99 percentile pregnancies. okay, wonderful, you showed up, you got here, and you're pretty bright that you can remember what your delivery room looked like when you were born, so that's pretty significant, and who the doctor was that wasn't supposed to be there, that was there, that wasn't there, that couldn't be there in the hospital that wasn't built yet. So we say, fine, I mean, you know, it's not a problem, you can pop in and out like you want to, and really and truly it's like fabulous, but we hear, okay, and?
You're suggesting there's a public reality or some other reality that can object to the usefulness of his story.
Well, the usefulness of his story would be better served if he kept his ideas to himself till they're fully developed. What's the point of coming out telling all this about his anomalous living that just exposes him outside of his place of power? So if you're outside of your place of power, why in the world would you want to get around and tell everybody your business of how you're outside of your place of power?
You were saying he says he was taken to a spaceship?
A platform.
Yes.
In a little bitty car. He was 3 years old, and he was bumping his head in a little bitty car that rode him. It sounds like if you're going to the Six Flags or to the Busch Gardens and go ride the kiddie ride from that place, and you recall that, it rides you to a platform that went all the way around the world. Well, they call that the Space Needle. And they shoot you up there, and at 3 years old, it's as though you're towering over the world. It's not a problem. It's not a problem.
Well, is that actually what happened? You went to some kid's theme park or something, and then you extrapolate this alien encounter from it.
The story, they could say they were aliens that were dressed up. You ever been to Disney World? They had the Mad Hatter running around there.
When I ask the question, is there? There is, because humans think it, then it is. So what area are we arguing over? What are you being cynical about?
We're not being cynical. It's just silly. If you're going to do that, keep it to yourself.
Why keep it to yourself?
Well, okay, you run around telling everybody how big your genitalia is, and the best you're going to get is they're going to say, all right, big boy, let's see. Bring your mom in here, let's see if she has a sealed womb. Where's the reports? How does this go? Let's check your DNA. Oh, wait, anyway, if you rape somebody, we can get you out of prison. We get your DNA. Yeah, that's always good to have. And let's find out why you got to tell everybody your business. What's the point of telling everybody business? If it means you're the ascended one, you're the second coming, okay, great, tell everybody. But if it's just talking smack about talking smack, we're not going to fight with that. Talk smack. We love smack. Don't bother us in this world. But nowhere have we heard so far where this experience has brought him in his place of power. Everything is how he's less than and why he's having to bend down backwards to come down and say why he's not as up to snuff, because they rectally probed him thoroughly when he was 3 years old in the platform when he was engaging through his spermless mother. Point, like, wonderful, congratulations, and is he going to say something is the interesting thing.
I first heard this Montauk anomaly in 1990, the tape of Al Bielek talking about he and Duncan Cameron were brothers, I think, on the Philadelphia experiment, and then it got zapped. It'll be about 1943, and they end up in 1983, and John von Neumann gets zapped. There's a lot of weird convolutions that come out of this. Stuart Swerdlow supports that Al Bielek story, Ed?
Yes.
Okay, so
pedophile claims?
Pedophile what? Claims?
Claims, yeah.
C-L-A-I-M-S?
Yeah.
Well, I know about that. There were rumors.
Sorry. Rumors don't count. But what
right.
They're talking about is a fact, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that they... Ed, let's describe what Montauk, what the main theory that's popularized by Peter Moon is. There was some kind of weird, horrible MKUltra stuff.
Hole up there, it's a little crossroads, and ain't nothing there, and it's a little shack. And the little shack's supposed to be where this grand portal is.
No, that's Ong's hat. That's Ong's hat. Peter Moon has written a new book on Ong's hat. You're right. But we go back to his three books he's done on Montauk. I think it's three. And he interviewed Preston Nichols and Duncan Cameron and I guess Stuart Swerdlow, though I'm not don't know about Stuart Swerdlow. The thing is that a lot of drastic Nazi top heavy hitter MK Ultra scientists came over and projected something out of Montauk. Without going into details, did anything like that happen over there in Montauk and Long Island?
The way it was described?
Yeah, in Peter Moon's books.
Not a chance.
Did anything happen that was curious or avant-garde experimentation or militaristic?
Avant-garde?
Yeah. You fell for that one.
Touché, Bob.
Well, McClellan did say science would tend to become like art, and art would tend to be like science, become like science. So that's what we're having here. A lot of public is interested in these weird phenomena, which is made-up scenarios in the realm of science. So it is a kind of new kind of art form to create these memes. Ivan already knows what he's going to say. We will listen to this and know that there's not one shred of evidence outside of his mind and Duncan Cameron and Al Bielek and Preston Nichols' minds.
And we don't have a problem with it. We really don't have a problem with it. It just
you're asking, though, what's the point for anybody else?
Yeah.
Right. Is it?
I mean,
is it going?
Is one, and you're going to develop some questions regarding it, other than what a fun story it was. We could talk about Dan Brown's Angels and Demons too, if that's more interesting. At least it has a plot.
Okay.
In Europe, there was an underground base in the Alsace-Lorraine region, where the French and German border are, and curiously enough, this area became the headquarters for the European Parliament in the city of Strasbourg, and that project was called MALDA, M-A-L-D-A. And then in the western United States, they had similar projects going on in what became known as Area 51. All of these were tied together, but Montauk was the parent project for mind control and genetic manipulation. A lot of the genetic manipulation was then also transferred to Plum Island, which is just off the coast of Long Island, which to this day is still heavily guarded and no private citizen can go there, only government scientists.
But apparently a lot of extraterrestrials worked in this program as well.
Yes, they did. The bottom line really is that there is an alien group that really was the first ones on this planet and consider it to be theirs, and they've always been here. So that is a fact that the government is having difficulty in releasing to the public, because to do so would show many implications of far-ranging areas, including religion, politics, economics, what have you, that would just destroy all the institutions as we now know them.
I mean, our whole paradigm right there.
Everything.
Everything. Let me take a guess. Was that initial group, were they the reptilians?
Absolutely.
Okay.
They were the first colonists on this planet.
And they were here far before we were.
They certainly were. And they colonized a continent that was known as Lemuria or Mu. Which no longer exist. However, remnants of it do exist still. The islands of Hawaii are at the very center of what was that continent, and most of the Pacific Rim, including the western portion of California, west of the San Andreas Fault Line, is also part of Lemuria.
And would you say that there are many, many of these in existence right now, these reptilians?
Yeah. What happened, to make a very long story short, was that there were then human colonists that came to this world and colonized what we call now Atlantis.
Okay.
And there were battles between them. And the Lemurian continent sank. The remnants of those people went either underground into the Earth, some went to the planet Venus, and some mixed with humans on the Earth and created hybrids.
What are some facts that you would say?
Facts? You hadn't had any facts yet.
What facts would you counter with?
the salamander peoples weren't here first, okay? If the salamander people were here first, they ought to be able to find a few bones of them, don't they? Oh, wait, salamanders don't have bones. Oh, okay. Well, we ought to be able to find this sunk part. They is. It's just around.
Okay, how can you prove your statement that they weren't here first, these salamander Lemurians?
Well, then if that's the case, how you prove that is that as you are eternal, then when does your eternity begin?
Yeah, you have to accept the premise you're eternal to take your argument.
Apparently. Well, because right. You are. Now, that's whether you take it or not.
Well, you begin with that certainty.
Otherwise, what's forever for, Bob? If there's a place before you were, then when does your eternity begin? Well, if your eternity didn't begin, then your end may have already come, and you missed your end. And this big ball, a twirling ball, has been. Okay? And this whole process that's applied from this status quo of how that the only reason you're here is by the grace of the Lemurians, or what do you say, Lemurians? Maybe it was a limerick. We missed it. There was a man from Nantucket. Maybe it was the limerick version he was trying to tell. And if then they were fighting with the Andromeda strain, was fighting with the Atlanteans, the remnant, the people that were not, and they went and found his mother, who didn't have fallopian tubes and a sealed womb, and the salamander semen breached her and got her with child that couldn't be delivered in an unbuilt hospital that rolled into this whole new process of all these itches and scratches positions that you can't get there from. It's too strong. It's too strong.
You can't prove that we're eternal.
Most certainly can.
Are you going to quote the coroner who measures something? And that's what you usually say.
Not from the humans. That's how the coroner can tell whether or not you're here or not. Okay.
Yeah.
You're alive, your meat sack. But the whole point of the position that you're even having... Somebody had to be around long enough to note when the Lemurians were here. So it's just as valid to say that there had to be humans here to see when the Lemurians got here and to make the broad-based statement that the Lemurians got here, the salamander people got here first and got to have in business with the humans. Well, if the salamanders had the ruling reign of everything, he didn't say where humans came from. He just said that the Lemurians came first. Well, if the Lemurians came first, how'd the humans get here if they weren't already here? Houston, we have a problem. Here we go. Here's what we're proving. You found bones and still finding bones of humans. Now, unless you decided you come out of the butt of a monkey, then fine. A monkey's butthole, if you did, great. Knock yourself out. We don't have a problem with that. But if you didn't, they're finding bones and DNA. So if your millions of years ago, if your ancestors got somebody pregnant, they've got DNA now that they can get you off the hook over it from millions and millions of years ago. So that's real good. They've got DNA now. They can help you with that. The whole point is you keep finding these bones further and further and further and further and further back. And the more you go, the more they find, and the more they find, the more they go. Of actual evidence that keeps updating how old humans are. They hadn't found them all yet, but they're still sifting. Don't you worry, they're sieving it. They keep finding it. And if every calamity, every 2 minutes, a new calamity is supposed to wipe off the face of everybody off the planet Earth, or it blow up, or everybody's frills flip-flop and you walk around on your head, or all this stuff, and that never seems to come about, never happens, never floats the boat. Then they come up with another thing, and yet, and then the wheels on the bus go round and round, and that in itself alone is indicatable, irrefutable evidence that you are eternal. Otherwise, you'd have already outed yourself, everybody. And yet, more and more and more and more and more humans are present. So, what questions would you have regarding proof that you are eternal would you like to engage?
My being is the proof that I'm eternal.
Exactly. And here's what else that's significant that you can use is your, as you increase your place of power, which from not many moons ago, you were where you are. And now you're in a very different place. In that short sweep of an increase of the power, not that you got, but that you're recognizing, is what's giving you the clues that embraces your eternalness. And the more you come into your place of power, the more you quit thinking and the more you start knowing, which is what we're talking about. So then, Bob, as you said, it twirls very easily into a place of knowing. Then we'll say, you prove that there was a time you were not, and you won't be able to do that either. You see? So it's not even subjective. It's just from the very place of the individuals coming into their place of power, period. And we don't give a crap what you think about it. It makes no difference to us. It doesn't change it. And whether you like it or not, or want it or not, or get it or not, it makes no difference to us. People are so free. They can be, you know, maybe that's what's wrong with the human condition, is they didn't get enough salamander nookie.
Okay, continuing.
Is that what was described in the Bible?
Well, when the Bible describes the God saying, let us make man in our own image, mm-hmm. It's plural. It is not a singular God saying that. It is a group of beings discussing the formation of a prototype of mankind. One of the possible treaties that was tried to create peace on the earth back in those days was the creation of a new human prototype, which the Bible calls Adam. And this was supposed to be a combination of the reptilian with humanoid forms so that they would be a model of peace that could exist on the earth. The condition was that the androgynous reptilian body be used as the basis for it. Now, the reptilians are androgynous, meaning male and female in the same body. There are no sexes in the reptilian races.
Hmm.
And so the story of the removal of the rib of Adam to create Eve is an allegory for the separation of a reptilian body into a male and female component. And then DNA was then added of humanoid forms to create a prototype for a human being.
It's quite fascinating. Have you ever actually seen a reptilian?
I certainly have, through mm-hmm. others.
Is this the same thing as a Draco?
Yeah, the Draco is actually the name of the star system.
Okay.
Now, that's another problem because that is the home area of the reptilian races. Now, the ones that are here on the Earth have changed or moved into another form of civilization or culture, which is not the intention that the Draco intended when they first came here.
Mm-hmm.
So the reptilians on this planet are in big trouble.
Hmm. And they are directly related to the Montauk Project.
Yeah, they were very much involved with that because they are tired of living hidden lives, and they are very anxious to become public once more as they were in the past. And in order to do that, they are literally blitzing the media with reptilian-like programs and shows, especially for children.
Mm-hmm.
And they're preparing adults through electromagnetic transmissions for the public appearance of reptilians.
And they're looking to integrate with us?
Well, one of their biggest weaknesses is that they are not very spiritually minded. They don't have a lot of psychic ability.
Mm-hmm.
They rely a lot on technology, and they rely a lot on controlling others through technology. And so the biggest threat to them is people having control of their own minds, Because if you do have control of your minds, it's very difficult for them to gain control of the mind pattern of the species.
Mm-hmm.
So it's in their best interest if we have a community-like behavior or a hive mentality rather than individuality.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There was, you see, there are seven different species of reptilian.
Wow.
Each one is like a hierarchy. Mm-hmm. In fact, the Hindu caste system is based on the reptilian hierarchy. And it goes all the way from the winged reptilian, the tall ones, who were the leaders and would be the Brahmins, so to speak, all the way down to a very small, diminutive worker type, which were a different color, had no tail, no wings, and they were very weak. And they would be like the untouchables.
Yes. Is this where the legend of the dragons and all that comes from?
Basically, yes. And it's also the legends of why, of hell and demons living under the earth.
Yes.
Because that's where they were driven. And it was after the destruction of the Atlantean continent that the reptilians, who were now underground, decided to retake the surface.
Mm-hmm.
But by then, to show themselves would create a lot of fear and panic among the population. So what they did was start a hybridization program where they actually created a royalty or elite group that infiltrated many cultures and became their leaders.
Mm.
And to this very day, they are the leaders and royalties of Europe and much of the wealthy families that control this planet.
Well,
and they're a hybrid.
Okay, now that's interesting because I've heard the term shape-shifting.
Yes.
Is this something that they can do?
Yeah, especially, see, all human beings have reptilian DNA. That's what the story of Adam was about.
Is that why we have a tailbone?
Yeah, and why you have skin that wrinkles and peel, why we have reptilian brainstem, because
mm-hmm.
we have reptilian DNA. That's why they consider us to be part of them and why they have no problem in controlling this world. But the shapeshifters actually have more of a 50-50 split between human and reptilian genetics. See, most human beings have less than 10% reptilian genetics,
mm-hmm.
whereas the shapeshifters are 50-50. Now, when they start getting more towards the reptilian side, they have a harder time keeping the human form,
mm-hmm.
and therefore they need to ingest human hormone and bodily materials in order to maintain a human form.
Like blood?
Yeah, like blood, organs, that type of thing.
Are there any people that you know of that would, that the listener to this would be able to identify as, that you know they're a reptilian, that the listener would know?
Well, just take a look at the royal family of England.
Of England,
or
okay.
Or any other royal family in Europe, because they're all related. And in fact, even most of the presidents of the United States.
You say most of the presidents?
Not all of them, but most of them.
Huh. Well, I know it's very interesting that they all have some relationship to a royal family in England or Scotland.
Exactly.
And so you think that's where they get the DNA from?
Oh, that's exactly where it comes from. They're all related to Charlemagne.
Huh. Then, at Montauk, who would you say actually ran the show?
Well, there was John von Neumann,
mm-hmm.
and then there was this tall reptilian whom, again, I didn't have direct contact with him, but I did see him, and we all knew to stay away from him.
Mm-hmm.
And then during the years, I had many different controllers who would be, or I should say overseers, who would be in charge of what I would be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was in no way high up in any ranks. However, the anomaly for me was that I survived a lot of it. They told me that less than 1% of the people who were experimented upon actually survived. And of that 1%, very few were able to function to any degree normally.
Mm.
And because I was able to do that, I became an anomaly for them. And so they allowed me more freedoms than they did the others.
Wow.
And eventually, I moved up from being a guinea pig, if you want to use that term, to being one who actually prepared the other children for work with some of the psychics and for some of the experimentations.
Well, so you think that it was von Neumann and a Draco that actually ran the whole program at Montauk?
That I knew of.
Did they report to anybody that you think of?
The only ones that I can imagine, now I have no idea proof that they reported to it, but I know von Neumann reported to many people in Germany and also within upper echelons of this government. You see, at a certain level, there really is no government. There's just one government all over the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And these political parties and different governments and nations are just for public consumption.
Okay, so he supposedly tapped into or reported to the secret government.
Yeah, but at both sides of it. In other words, the Illuminati, who really control the Earth government, have different factions among themselves as well. They're by no means all brotherly and peaceful with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are factions, each trying to outdo the other.
I see. So somehow you got recruited into Montauk at an early age. I guess you were still into high school, right?
I was about 14.
Okay. And you said there were daily visits?
Yeah, they would come for me at night. And what they have is the ability to shift time and space so that point A and point B become one point.
Mm-hmm.
And they would actually create an energetic connection from where I was to the Montauk Project.
Even back then?
Even back then. They've had this technology for a very long time.
Ah. Okay, because that's a little unclear in our discussions with Al as far as how long they actually had it. Was this the chair that was at Montauk?
Well, the chair was used for the psychics. They
yeah.
used these chairs to create vortices or gateways to other dimensions and times.
Would those gateways, though, be the same ones that were used to get you?
A form of it. See, here's the thing. When you create an opening from one dimension to another, that would be a vortex.
Mm-hmm.
When you create a shortcut from point A to point B within the same reality, that's a wormhole. So what they actually created was wormholes around the Earth to connect to whoever they needed for that moment.
Okay. Did they come under the guise of an extraterrestrial, though?
Sometimes they did, especially in the very beginning. And I guess that was just from my understanding until I realized what was going on, and then they no longer had to put up that charade.
Why would they do that in the first place?
Because in the event a person becomes conscious during the abduction scenario, it's better that they see an alien that they don't understand and who has no legal responsibility on the Earth, rather than you wake up and you see a military person that you can identify and then becomes the responsibility of the government.
So were they, in this process, preparing you for the work that you're going to do at Montauk?
Yes, they were. I was already genetically prepared for it.
Mm-hmm.
What they were trying to do was enhance that and see how far they could go with it.
So there must have been many, many others that they did the same thing with.
Supposedly there were, but many of them didn't survive.
Mm-hmm.
I am told that, as I mentioned earlier, that less than 1% survived.
Well, do you know any others who have survived?
I have met many people who claimed to be in the Montauk Project.
Okay.
Now, all of them that I would see, I would know if they were telling the truth or not, because there's a certain resonance or signature in the energy field that I recognize.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at least half of the people I met who claimed to be part of that were not. Now, that's not saying that they're being deceptive. It means they might really believe they were.
Yeah.
And part of the electromagnetic programming that's being beamed out through much of the planet has these little scenarios that are implanted in your mind pattern that you can believe are real.
Yeah, and I mean, that could be part of the misinformation campaign.
Yes. And that's what a lot of the channeling is that's out there. Well, channeling is basically coming from satellites. Now,
all channeling?
95% of it. That started back in the mid-60s, way before Montauk.
Yes. Right.
And that was part of a disinformation dissemination program by the NSA so that people would believe that there were space brothers coming to save us And so you wouldn't really have to do anything but just wait until you went into the fourth or fifth dimension and life would be good and wonderful, when in fact it was a clever ploy to get you to just not do anything.
Huh.
It was also a way for them to see how transmitted satellite information would be received through the brain and how it would come out. And they would infiltrate all of these groups and then be able to fine-tune the way they transmit the programming.
You know, as I think of the logistics of channeling, how would they know exactly when the receiver is ready to do his channeling? Because I've seen some of it. In fact, I've seen many people channel. And it's at their time, at their will. They sit down and they say, now we begin, and then it goes.
Mm-hmm.
How would the government know at that time to turn on the program?
You have to remember that the program is usually turned on when the person is sleeping and downloaded into their brain.
Ion, you've discussed the Lemurians. In light of what Stuart said, you tell us a bit about the actual Lemurians from your perspective.
They were people on the Earth. They were, okay, no problem with that. But all this gobbledygook that's being laid out here gets just too much drivel to get.
I'm calling Lemurians what you call the lizard people, or the lizard aspects are in what we call Lemurians, but you're making a distinction between the humans as a Lemurian culture versus the lizard people who end up in Easter Island. What do you call the ones that you talk about are like lizards?
Well, they were salamander people.
You call them the salamander people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what created them?
You humans, God.
In fancy laboratories or in mystical forests?
No, in your mind, and then they are.
Okay, so we created them.
Everything that is, the human creator created, or it wouldn't be. Who named
humans? Humans. Okay, so the Lemurians are salamander people.
Not specifically, no.
Right, okay. Why did I associate the Lemurians with the salamander people? You had made that.
The lizard, because of the lizard people, the reptilians, and...
That's a salamander. Wait. You switch it to lizard and reptilian. You're still talking about the salamander people.
Correct. And then that stems in the same process as a separate side version of Lemurians, lizard people.
Oh, okay. Salamander people... before the lizard people.
Okay.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
Then were there human beings, not salamander or lizard people, in or on Lemuria?
Yes. Where is Lemuria?
Has Lemuria happened yet?
Yeah, it's Easter Island.
Okay, that's approximately where Lemuria was, is.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have the salamander and the lizard people. Now, what happened when they interacted with human beings?
Nothing. What happens when you interact with salamanders now? They run.
Those little salamanders are derivatives of the salamander people?
Well, you'd have to check your guest host's DNA to prove that, Bob. But he was conditioned with all the bile wants to come out of JW's belly. It's not so pleasant. But...
Stuart Swerdlow, we should check with him on what happened.
I'm telling you all the news that is news across the Lemurian nation.
He says Lemurians are lizard people. I think he said that.
Yeah.
We were
all on Charlemagne, and we was sort of with that when we said it worked for Charlemagne, didn't we?
Well, was he a Lemurian? Lizard person? Salamander person?
African cats, no. No more than the royal family is. Yeah, they got a little hepatitis because Albert got scratched with a little bit of one of them werewolves. Scratched him and got a little hepatitis, but beyond that, it ain't no big deal.
Now, you're saying the royal family isn't Lemurian or lizard or salamander.
No, they're not.
He does not
any more than you are, Bob, because the Illuminati runs everything, and you've been running the Illuminati for years, so you're as much a lizard somebody as Prince Charles is.
He's saying the royal family is lizard people.
Yeah.
You're saying not,
Right.
Not that he gives us much proof, but do you have any proof to refute him?
Well, do the test. That's the most closely tested family ever. They've had so much inbreeding, they have to have a pretty good check on that to see if they're not marrying first brothers. So they have more blood testing than anyone else ever. And, of course, that's not too difficult and not necessarily that private, for Pete's sake.
You have the Lemurians, you have the Salamander people, and the side issue of the lizard people. What did they actually do in relating to human beings? What happened to them?
They just lived. They're still around now.
And I remember you saying that they don't have the same spiritual gifts as humans, but because they know something that humans don't know, they can manipulate
the
humans.
They know to be afraid. They don't manipulate. They know to be afraid. And the only humans they manipulate are the ones that say, oh, hello, Mr. Lemurian. I'm a little lonesome. Would you please probe me rectally? I'd like to know what that feels like so I can have my past regressions of my conscious that's unconscious, that's of my subconscious, that I can remember at 3 years old what that probe felt like in my rectum, because, see, I forfeited my power. So would you please be all lord over me?
Lemurians existed in what we call our past, but the Atlanteans didn't exist in our past.
Yet.
Yet. Now, he mentioned the Atlanteans and some remnant of them.
Fighting with somebody and blah, 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 and ibbity, bibbity, squibbity, squab. I mean,
okay, so
the oldest episodes of Bewitched at least had a plot, Bob.
We've established what Lemurians are from your knowledge base or perspective or facts. Why did you want me to stop the recording? What had you had enough of?
Well, just, what could I stand anymore? It's soap operatic.
Ed, what did he say about channeling? He mentioned channeling.
Well, he was just going into that, and the idea was no channeling is as many humans believe it is. The whole channeling phenomenon is being created by the secret government, who are putting these thoughts in the mind of these so-called channelers. So the channelers are not channeling these entities they think they are. They're actually channeling these frequencies that are being broadcast to them from the satellites by the secret government.
Well, then why ain't they doing a better job?
If you look around and think that humans are subjugated, then they're doing a good job.
But every time you turn around the lucky box, you turn around, somebody's kicking a door in somewhere. Somebody's kicking back.
Oh, you mean in the news events, news shows?
Yeah, even if they're controlling all that, they should get... They certainly should not be in charge of the android memes, shouldn't they, Bob?
Okay,
hey,
so...
Was any of your bastard babies of your five bodies, was any of them rectally probed, or was they from... Did they have salamander genitalia on them?
No, but we're talking about the... that's the chemical body. The stories of being probed by aliens is dealing with the chemical body. And
oh, but yet it all comes from your faint memory if you pass the test and live long enough to tell about it. So your experience then is based on your subjugated, relegated memory from all of your senses, from all the bodies as they link into it. Because you go check on your chip body and see who's been rectally probed this week. And then you go look at the TV body and see what color the grays are and how original is that. And then you find out what slippery elm ooze is and find out that some people's covered up in it. Well, imagine that, sticky, slippery, whatever they call
it. That would be the ectoplasm of the astral body? Is that what you mean there?
Everything that's got a name, yes, Bob.
Yeah.
That's priceless. Yep, that's the new meaning, Ed, for slippery elm ooze. Don't tell the boys at CERN, they'll dig a big hole trying to confine slippery elm ooze, and then they'll spend billions of dollars trying to find where the elm do ooze, and then they'll have to rewrite history again against the elm tree, and then with it.
Okay.
If y'all going somewhere with this is fine, but Lord have mercy. We don't, you're going to have to ask some questions or something, because
See, this is good, because we are taking on the Montauk meme, which has been around, popular. I used to have this theory of the interaction of the chip body, the astral body, the chemical body, and the TV body. That made the images of those, and people don't have an image of the TV body or chip body, but the images of that mixture create the fad in response to the meme of reptilians.
That was the case, I'd be really, really, if I was a god and I was in that less than position, I would be mortally pissed off that I had to go before this goober to decide if I was indeed truly Lemurian or not. If I was tricking myself into not having the aura of the reptile species, I'd be really pissed. Now, Bob, it won't be long people will be having engagements with us. Ion, I want to be reptilian, and I'm not reptilian, and they got all the good stuff, and they run the government, and they're the inside thing, and they get to ride in little cars and go in little planes and go around the world in platforms, and they don't have to think their thoughts anymore. The satellites think for them, and I'm pissed off. I'm a marvelous human creator, and I've just been left the hell out. They've left me out of everything, and I want to be a salamander. Come on, Ion, what do I got to do? How can I be a salamander? When can I get my salamander DNA? Why is it that I can't get my rectum probed thoroughly, real thorough? And how can I survive it so I can pass the test? And maybe, then when next time I go to Disney World, I can lead the Lemurian legend all through the park and dress up like Greys and aliens. And maybe I can pop into these little strato gliders and ride in the chair lifts and take me across the park. Well, I want to run that thing. I want to see how that goes. And I just I'd hope for so much more. All the ever good thing that's happening on the planet is happening to them damn lizard people. And I'm not having it no more. I can't get me some lizard nookie. I don't think I'm going to carry on. Because them lizards got it all going on, and not many survive, so they must really be special if they can take that impregnation without any fallopian tubes. Boy, that's, there you go. You own to something then. If you listen to this gobbledygook just long enough, after a little while, it'll take hold. It's like poison oak, Ed. You want to go planting poison oak on your property to see if it'll take root or not? Well, try that and see how you enjoy it. After a little while, you start throwing this stuff till you can't even get it to vomit up. You can't swallow it. You can't pass it. So what you going to do with it? And every stretch of the imagination that strips you out of your place, if you could get to some logical, plausible, workable solution that comes with some answers that you can know instead of have to pontificate regarding or run an exegesis therefore from it, then you can get somewhere. But otherwise, it's about as fruitful to piss in the wind.
And then, when there are certain triggers which are transmitted by ground transmission, the person then goes into their act. Now, most of the time, that's about 95% of the channeling that's done on the Earth now is from satellite transmission. There's a very small percentage that is not. My feeling is, and what we learned at Montauk, is that the ones who channel real entities is kind of low level anyway, because no high level entity needs to take over your body in order to transmit information. If they're so high level, they can just instantly download into your mind and you know it instantaneously without giving up who you are, your persona. So the act of channeling is in itself, in my mind, a form of carjacking. You know, it's like, you know, you get out and I get in.
That's a new perspective for me on channeling.
I know that people don't accept that because they've been conditioned to believe that it's a positive, wonderful thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the disinformation.
And so you think the whole goal of that program is to lull people into doing nothing?
Absolutely. And if you take all the information that's been channeled mm-hmm. and lay it right next to each other, they're practically identical. And absolutely none of the predictions have ever come true.
Hmm.
They're just there to lull you into a false sense of security.
Hmm. Wow. Well, that's an interesting another topic. We can go on for hours with these subjects. Let's get back to Montauk, though.
Yes.
And, okay, let's just say here it is, day one, reporting to duty. How were you taken there? And what was your responsibility initially?
First of all, we would get there through these wormholes for the most part.
Okay.
Sometimes we would physically be transported in vehicles. But for the most part, we would be taken at night, and it would be through the wormhole.
Mm-hmm.
When we were there, depending on who you were, you had different functions and responsibilities. In the very beginning, my job was to become a booster or a power pack for the psychics on the chair, one of whom was Duncan Cameron. And they used the energies of young teenagers or young children to boost his energy or whoever else was on the chair so that he could open up a vortex mentally that could then be downloaded into a computer system as a software. And then that could be replayed without him personally having to do that. What they found was, and what they were trying to do, was to use the human mind to create software that could be downloaded and saved on a computer program and then used and manipulated at will.
Did you ever see these computers?
Yeah. In the beginning, they were different than they were at the end. In 1970, some of these computers looked like they took up the peripheral of an entire room.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it was Earth technology, a lot of it was not. In some of the rooms, what they used the children for specifically was to induce a heightened sense of fear and anxiety that would then be transmitted to these poles located at the four corners of the room that would literally absorb the energy of the fear and anxiety.
Hmm.
That could then be amplified and broadcast out into the public, because mind control works best on a person who is afraid.
Sure does.
If you create a situation of panic and anxiety, that person's mind pattern is open to the point where they can be manipulated very easily.
Houston, we have a little problem, obviously. It's human and alien technology. If these bastards are so bright that they can take over everything that is, why they got to have human technology to make their chairs work?
Good question.
If they're that bright and they're that together and they're that superior and they're really running it all and they're trying to run the satellites, I don't know what they did pre-satellites, or maybe that's where they got the satellites from, and then they started talking about all the different technologies, and that's why we was asking you if your bastard babies was part of this whole run, Bob, with this alien technology, these Lemurians that's come in to take it all. That's why we wanted to make sure that they wasn't no miscegenation in your bastard babies, like he was talking about just then, which we talked about just previously. And then you lay it all out. If this is some big usurpful process, why don't they just get on with whatever it is they were supposed to do? What's the fruitful benefit? If they're all superior, get shed of all the rest of it and get on with whatever they're going to do. I mean, you're talking about it to death, and then this don't work and that don't work, and this ain't a channel, and we don't even know what a channel is, so okay, might as well maybe blame it on the rain or the Lemurians or whomever. But after a little while, next thing you know, you listen a little bit, the next thing you know, it becomes the humans is real key and real critical in order for them to run whatever it is that they run in. You know, if you're on the cattle of 1,000 hills, you ought not want for milk. Well, if they studying, they were here pre-man, so it's almost like you found a new flower in the garden and you're going to beat it to death to see if it is. Well, if they was all here before and knew it all, brought it all, and watched it all happen, watched it unfold, why the hell are they still probing rectally to see what's going on and picking these little bitty humans that survive to then set up the other humans so that they can do it too? and then one could see if the others was as good as the other one could be, that the other one was a faking their Lemurian status of engagement. It's quite a twirl, and there's some vortexing going on. You better believe there's some vortexing. Them boys is twirling around on something in that chair, I'll tell you that. I just don't know if they're pitching or catching, but there's something going on for sure.
I met Duncan Cameron. He certainly didn't.
He appear to be thoroughly rectally probed to you, Bob?
Yes, the way he couldn't remember anything about his life. He was
well,
in some kind of trauma.
Satellite, he must have been out of satellite range.
I'm just saying he seemed to be in some kind of traumatized state. He couldn't remember.
The whole point of this traumatization is, how does it get you into your power? Blow your damn brains out. If you've been probed by the aliens and it's over and you're running the subculture that's going to destroy it all, either go kill the Lemurians because you're the only one that can see where they are, or kill yourself to get yourself out of your own way. Get out of the way, because you're certainly not doing gods any fare-thee-well accommodations.
Ed, what more does he go into? Does it come into some other interesting themes, or just develop from the satellite channeling and Montauk's importance?
At some point, he's sent to prison. And apparently in that, the government sends him to prison, and there he finds out he's in prison with a number of Congress people and the governor of, I believe it's West Virginia. And his job while he's in prison is to re-indoctrinate these people.
Does he get to rectally probe them, or does he have another staff to come help do that?
Well, he didn't go into that.
Well, imagine that. Now, somebody that's thorough in their libertine gospel of description ought to be given every detail, don't you think?
I'm going to move the interview near to the last couple of minutes, see if it empowers us in some way that we don't foresee. And we spent almost an hour on this or more.
And had two sentences to... And everybody that hasn't voided your bowels, go do it now before the next section kicks in.
You know what comes to mind, Stuart, is I've heard many people say that if our entire DNA was activated, we would have all the knowledge that we would need. We would know everything.
Well, you know, 97% of all DNA, whether you're an amoeba, an alien, or an elephant, mm-hmm. is identical. Hmm. Now, science calls it junk DNA. But that 97% is the foundational mind pattern of what you would call God mind.
Right.
It's only the 3 remaining percent that differentiates species and individuals.
But is yours more activated or connected than, say, the average person here? Is that how you have this knowledge?
Well, a couple of things. Number one, human beings only use 10% of their brain.
We've heard that.
And so I teach people how to open up the other 90%.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether you consider it fortunate or not, because of what I've been through, a large percentage of my mind pattern is opened and available. And when that happens, it correspondingly opens up the related DNA sequences.
Have you had a lot of success with this?
Very much so, and I teach classes in this.
Uh-huh. And looking at your website, and we're going to provide links to your website off the CD, I see you have a lot of classes.
Yes.
But various different types of classes.
Right, because there's language of hyperspace, there's DNA, there's healing techniques, simultaneous existence, all different aspects of opening up the mind pattern.
Now, how would one feel comfortable going to your class after hearing the story of how you were controlled?
Well, that's a very common question, and it's a good question.
Okay.
And so I say, don't listen to the messenger, listen to the message.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I was programmed, I was genetically manipulated, what have you. That doesn't alter the value of the information. 1 and 1 is 2, no matter if I tell you or Adolf Hitler tells you, it's the same valid information. And so the information that I teach about color codes and archetypes and hyperspace sentences, all of that is quite valid, and I encourage people to really study for themselves. I only provide the tools. Mm-hmm. I don't make it happen for you. I tell you what you can do for yourself to open it up.
And Stuart,
then it's up to each individual.
Okay, Stuart, what do people do with these tools?
They find out who and what they are.
They find the truth of them?
That's correct. Not that it comes from me or anyone else, but it'll come from themselves. They will actually access themselves.
Hmm. I could see two things happening. I could see one becoming enlightened and accepting and loving. I could see another upon realizing who they are and perhaps becoming fearful and not handling it very well.
Well, that is because of the conditioning that people have been through.
Right.
People are designed to identify themselves with their problem. They're too fat, they're too short, they don't have enough money, they never find a parking space. That's how they identify themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And the fear is, if they don't have those issues, they don't know who they'll be. So there's a fear in that.
Mm-hmm.
But they should also realize that that's not who they are. That's who they have been told they should be.
So do you believe in the common saying that we're spiritual beings having a human experience?
Exactly correct.
And if indeed that's true, then that really transcends this whole physical experience.
The physical reality, and there's many, many, almost infinite physical realities, all with different vibratory rates. That's
mm-hmm.
why you can't see them.
Mm-hmm.
But all of them combined is really a speck in the mind of God.
Hmm.
The bulk of it is non-physical or energetic.
Mm-hmm.
I almost consider physical reality to be an error in thinking in God mind.
If God is capable of error.
God is capable of everything.
Yeah, indeed. That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
So perhaps in closing here, and you've been very gracious for spending this amount of time. I didn't know we would do this much, but let's look back at Montauk. Let's look at this experience. What can we gain from this? It happened. You were there. Al was there. Preston was there. Duncan was there. Where are we now? And for the listener, what should the listener take away from this message?
We are at a very critical point in linear time. We're at a nexus or crossing point where those who seek to control and enslave this physical reality are just about where they want to be. Now, they only have that ability because of the victimization mentality of those that they control. If people remove the victimization mentality from their mind patterns, those who control will no longer have any power over them. Tyranny only exists where there is a need for oppression. If there's total freedom and control of oneself, mind, body, and spirit, no one and nothing can ever take control of you. So it is at this point in history that every individual needs to decide for themselves whether they wish to be controlled or to be self-controlled. And if they decide the self-control and they teach that to others and so on, eventually it will reach a critical mass that will spill over to the species mind pattern, and then there'll be complete freedom within human species. And there will no longer be tyranny or control. And that's what I hope people will understand from all of this information.
So, Ryan, I go back to Stuart Swerdlow talking about working with people's DNA to make them better people or activate something, spiritual gifts. That's going around a lot, the idea of activating the DNA. But you see nothing advantageous with working with the DNA. You prefer the RNA. Maybe you could speak to that, within the limits we prescribed, secret lab here.
If you knew what DNA was, and if you only, and he's using all of his mind, so it ought to be clear for him. If you're using all your mind, then you'll know the DNA didn't have anything to do with it. The RNA is what tells the DNA to replicate. And if you figure that out, if you can talk about the RNA, then you're going to have, you'll figure out what this DNA stuff you're talking about, like you know what you're talking about, really is. Know how to run those threads. Oh, maybe that's that string theory again. It brings you back into that position to where you come back into your place of power. But I'll tell you true, humans coming into their place of power won't have anything to do with vindicating or validating any salamander or lizard or any other reptile roaming around on your planet for you and you. And the interesting topical conversation that he's trying to teach you something to seek it out for yourself, it's all limited that the best you're going to get is the least that the Lemurians will let you have.
He also works with the premise that we're under great tyranny, so you have to get to believe you're a victim before you can be freed from that victimization by his therapy.
Of course, of course, of course.
And then he has another mea culpa or alibi. He says, well, these are only tools. So when someone sells me a tool, it's up to how I use it. Think many tools be sold if it was up to how I use it? I think people think tools help them. He's saying just providing a tool is not going to help you unless you know how to use it.
If you got to have the Lemurians to tell you how to use it, what's the point?
Ed, what do you get from that last bit?
He did mention non-physical.
Yeah, he is saying, he agrees with what Ian seems to be saying, that non-physical is a bigger part of our experience than the physical.
But that's only if the Lemurians say it's all right.
It's framed with the Lemurian tyranny.
Or you can't have it.
As long as we don't go with the program, we could be free of the tyranny.
Well, but you are activating it in the very discussion of it, and that's why we kind of get a bit out
of it. Right, you're activating the tyranny.
Now, not only have you got to come into your power, you've got to whoop them damn Lemurians before they ream you out. You've got all this gobbledygook that's got to be sorted out, sifted out. And no happy wonder we have to divide it out into three kingdoms. You got so much crap coming at you, you couldn't put it in one sewer pipe at one time. You got to have a three-holer to work it out. But once you get beyond some of this...
Say it.
Come to that position of transcendentally rectifying, pardon the pun, your position of what you got to overcome for Lemurians. If you got to do all that, you ain't got to change. No wonder you separated yourself from your power, the fall of man, as it were. No wonder, with this kind of foolishness, because at that point, the best you got, see, is the best you can get, say, as we said, is the least that they'll let you have. What's the point?
He's saying that we're right at a very big crisis point because the Lemurians are about to lock it down forever, right? Didn't he imply that? So we got to get into warrior mode and liberate ourselves from that horrible prison. But he's using the old advertising technique of creating the disease, which is tyranny, and then offering a cure.
You can take his class and don't listen to what he's saying. Just do what he says.
Right. Did I hear him mention access to souls? Ion has a different idea about what souls are. So if you remember what he said, what would you elaborate around his idea of accessing people's souls? What would you clarify?
Well, that where he's coming from, you can't get there from now.
You say souls aren't an issue as you ascend.
Right.
People say we're more than their bodies. Ion says we're more than our souls.
Oh, the soul's the least of it.
Ion, how would you liberate someone in a few words like he was asked? If you were asked by that interviewer, what's your agenda? How could you quickly answer it as he did within 5 minutes?
Oh, less than that. That's easy. Come into your place of power. Speak only what you want to experience. Get over all this gobbledygook everybody's trying to cram down your throat hole. Start pleasing and delighting yourself, and when you do that, the cares of life will go strangely dim. And when the cares of life go strangely dim, then you'll know, you won't think, and you won't have to ask nobody what the Lemurians think about you coming into your place of happiness. Kiss my bliss. You take on that attitude of institutional rectitude, and all of a sudden, all this mess, you wouldn't give it the time of day. Toilet paper, that's what you'd use it for. Be good. Be good. Moisten it is good. And that's the short version of how you come into your place of power and start living the way you were before the fall. And you won't have to ask any lizard or salamander if that's all right. Good.